All right, you have your Bibles. Let's all stand as you go to 2 Samuel chapter number 4. We're coming down to the home stretch of our King David series, and I do hope that it has been challenging to you, enlightening and encouraging as well. And we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight. But look over at 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, and when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, the Bible says his hands were feeble and all the Israelites were troubled. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The name of the one was Baana, and the name of the other was Rechab. And the sons, they were the sons of Rimmon, the Bethlehemite, of the children of Benjamin, for Beeroth also was reckoned to Benjamin, and the Beerothites fled to Gittim and were sojourners there until this day. Drop down to verse number 5. And the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, and Rechab, and Benaiah, went and came about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who lay on a bed at noon. The Bible says, and they came thither into the midst of the house, as though they would have fetched wheat. And they smote him, the Bible says, under the fifth rib, and Rechab Baana, his brother, escaped. For when they came into the house, he lay on his bed in his bedchamber, and they smote him, the Bible says, and slew him, and beheaded him, and took his head, and got them away through the plain all night. We'll stop there. We're going to talk tonight on the assassination of Ishbosheth. The assassination of Ishbosheth. Father, I pray tonight that we'll glean some things from this event that took place hundreds of years ago, but yet can be applied today. I pray, God, we be careful how we try to manipulate situations and try to get ahead by means of our own instead of following your direction. I pray, God, that as we look at this situation, this story and the ending of it, I pray, God, to show us what you have for us to see. And I pray, God, we receive it and then implement and watch it work in the midst of our life. And for that, God, we'll thank you. I pray, God, to help me to preach the word of God tonight. I pray, God, to fill me up with the Holy Spirit. Guide my tongue and my actions, my thoughts, and all that I say and that I do. I pray, God, that you will be the great orchestrator. And for that, God, we'll praise you. And then, Lord, if there's one among us who's not sure of their salvation, they're not sure if they die tonight, their heaven will be their final destination. What a great day to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, King, and Savior. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. Help us, Lord, tonight, and we'll thank you. For us in your Son's name, we pray, Jesus, amen. Amen. Maybe see the assassination of Ishbosheth. The word assassination means to kill suddenly or secretively, especially a political prominent person. And we see this take place in the life of Ishbosheth. And kind of get us caught back up to speed. Remember, Saul, King Saul, has already been already died, and his son Jonathan has died. Abner, he's been killed, and now the only person left is this king, young king, who really wasn't in charge of anything because Abner was really running things. But now here he is, left alone, and now he is afraid. And some folks are going to try to take some matters into their own hands, and that's what you and I got to be careful of, not to take matters into our own hand. Sometimes we'll feel like this. You know what? If I do this to hurt this person, this might be a good deed to help this person. Folks, it's never right to hurt somebody and trying to help somebody else. That's not the way the Bible teaches us. The Bible says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, the first thing we're going to see is a fear that takes place. Abner's dead. And verse 1 says this, and when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, the Bible says his hands were feeble. Let me pause. Now remember, Abner's death was due to Joab taking his life. Joab had no permission from King David, but he wanted revenge. because his brother had been killed by Abner, but yet it was in battle. But here he was avenging his brother's death. And so now Abner is dead. And Abner was the uncle of Ishbosheth. And he was the one kind of guiding things in Israel. And now he hears Abner's dead. Oh, my goodness. The Bible says that his hands were what?
Feeble.
That word feeble means to let drop or to sink down or to be disheartened. In other words, can you see it? He finds out that Abner's dead. He's like, oh, man. His hands just drops. What are we going to do now? I mean, David wins battles. David don't really lose battles. But also, David don't start stuff either. I think I told you guys before, oh, but it felt like when I was growing up, Sharon, if I didn't start the fight, then I was going to win. I really believe that. I felt like God would help me to win the fight. And so far, I'm undefeated. Amen. Hallelujah. So, but nonetheless, though, here you have a situation. Ishbosheth is afraid. Abner is dead. His hands just drop down. And then the Bible says, and all the Israelites were what? Troubled. That word troubled here means to be nervous, to have anxiety. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? King Saul is dead. Jonathan is dead. Now Abner is dead. And the only person left is Ishbosheth. He's the only one. And he wasn't running things. Abner was. What are we going to do? They're now nervous and they're now afraid. And watch what the Bible says happens next. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The name of one was Baana, and the name of the other was Rechab. The sons of Rimmon, a Berothite of the children of Benjamin, for Beroth also was reckoned to Benjamin. And the Berothites fled to Gittim and were sojourners there until this day. So we see the scene. There's fear that's running through the camp. And sometimes when there is fear, it'll cause us to react or respond in the wrong way. Because we're afraid of what's going to happen, what's going to take place next. Maybe what I need to do is get ahead of this thing. Maybe I need to jump out front and do something to stop my own demise. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't want to die here with Ishbosheth or when David comes. Maybe David's coming. David had to say one thing. And remember, my friends, at this point in time, David was never the one attacking anybody. They were attacking David. And David was only defending himself. But here we have fear. And when there is fear, a lot of times we respond the wrong way. That's why it's not good to make decisions when you are filled with fear and anxiety. And the second thing we see here is the fall. Verse 4 says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old, just a little guy. When the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, the Bible says that his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass as she made haste, she was in a hurry to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was, yeah, you heard of him, Mephibosheth. Wow. Little guy was only 5 years old. But because they had heard what happened to Saul and Jonathan, she's in such a panic. She picks him up. I don't know whose purse is here, but she picks him up, amen. And then she drops him. And now, he's not just hurt, but he's lame. He cannot even walk anymore because of the panic and the fear that had been running rampant. Here's now a 5-year-old boy who is now not able to walk because of fear, because of panic. How many times something had happened to us out of panic and out of fear, and all of a sudden it gets worse than what we intended to take place. And she flees with him, but now he can't walk. Now we're going to hear about him down the road. We're going to see how David extended grace and mercy to this young boy who is now going to be a young man by the name of Mephibosheth. But we see that he failed because of somebody's fear. And then the third thing we see is a fatal assassination. The Bible says in verse number 5 that the sons of Rimmon, the Berothite, Rechab, and Baana went and came about the heat of the day. to the house of Isbosheth, who lay on the bed at noon. Man sleeping. The Bible says they came thither. Can you see it? Like a movie? They came thither into the midst of the house as though they would have fetched wheat. They pretended. But instead, the Bible says, they smote him under the fifth rib. And Rechab and Baanah, his brother, escaped. For when they came into the house, he lay on his bed in his bedchamber. And they smote him and slew him. And look what the Bible says. And they beheaded him and took his head and got them away through the plain all night. They snuck up on this man in his sleep. They not only assassinated him, they murdered him. Isbosheth wasn't hurting nobody. Wait a minute. He was a king over Israel, and they were fighting against David. Who made him king? Anybody remember who made him king? Abner. He was mine. He probably just walking down the street. Mind his business. Abner, hey, we're going to make you king now because everybody else dead. Oh, okay. Now he's a king. But Abner's getting stronger, and he's getting weaker. So you can tell he was no imminent threat. He was nobody that really was going to do much. But these two guys make a decision. We are going to take his life. He's asleep. We are afraid. We don't know what David's going to do. But I'm going to tell you what, we got to take care of us. Now, I know we don't know nobody like that. We're going to take care of me, myself, and I. I'm not concerned about nobody else. I'm not concerned about what's going to happen to somebody else. All I know is this. I don't want David to take my life. So what are we going to do? While the man's sleeping in his bed, snoring. And they come by and kill him. But watch this. The Bible says in verse number 8. The Bible says, and they brought the head of Isbosheth unto David to Hebron and said to the king, oh, behold the head of Isbosheth, the son of Saul, thine enemy. Oh, look what we done for you, David, which sought thy life and the Lord. Say what? And the Lord have avenged my Lord, the king, this day of Saul and of his seed. God is involved in this. Where'd y'all see that at? I didn't see nowhere where the Bible says the Lord told them two boys to go in there and to take Isbosheth's life. Nowhere that's in the Bible. That's all that the Lord has done. He has brought us your enemy. Here he is. Here is his head. You don't have to be afraid of him anymore. He was trying to take your life, but look for the good deed that we've done. You ever seen that take place? Somebody think they helping you, going to hurt somebody else, and say, look what we did. I took care of it for you. Is there a reward? See, they weren't doing this for nothing. And sometimes people will try to help somebody else, but they're really trying to help themselves. And they're going to get a reward. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. They're going to get a reward, but it ain't going to be a reward they want. Amen. So the Bible says, man, they bring this to David. And so then we see, my friends, the fatal assassination. But now we see the fruit of this assassination. There will be some fruit, but all fruit ain't good fruit. I'm sorry. My wife, she likes that. Well, what's that thing you eat? Yeah. She likes, who is it again? Avocado, whoever. I mean, she likes that stuff. I mean, she'll cut it up and she'll buy it. And I look at it, I'm just like, this is just not right. Y'all ever seen it? They just don't look right to me. I mean, it just looks like something that's diseased or something. Like it's got all this stuff all over it. And I'm like, you know, I'm I know some of y'all, I know y'all love it. Yeah, all y'all probably like, half y'all do anyway. But man, I don't like that stuff. And is it considered fruit? Yeah, it's even that tells you something about this. It's confused. They don't know what it is. Amen. Am I a fruit or am I a vegetable? I have no idea. Amen. But try me. No, I don't want to try you. Amen. So sometimes, my friends, you may get some fruit from certain things, but it ain't going to be a good fruit. Watch what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 9, and David answered Rechab and Baanah, his brother, the sons of Rimmon, the Berethite, and said to them, as the Lord liveth, who have redeemed my soul out of that, all that adversity. When one told me, let me give you guys a history lesson, he says. When one told me, saying, behold, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag. Who thought that I would give him a reward for his tidings? There was a guy that came and said, I killed Saul for you. He thought he was going to give him a reward. I gave him a reward. We took his life. Because what he did wasn't right. But the Bible says next, how much more when wicked men have slain a right... What? Let me back up for a minute. How much more when wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own house... Upon his bed. David says this guy was a righteous person. In other words, he had done nothing wrong. And you go in there, innocent guy, and take his life, and now you will come and tell me, look what we did for you, David. Listen, we don't need for others to try to promote us. Instead, let God bring about that promotion. God had already told David he was going to be king. And if several years have gone by now before he actually becomes king of all of Israel, he is king over Judah right now at the point. But my dear friends, you don't see David saying, well, I'm supposed to be the king. I'm supposed to be the king. Whoa. David allowed God to elevate him. He allowed God to move him up the corporate ladder. But sometimes what people do is they'll cut other people's throat. Spiritually speaking, to get ahead. They'll call somebody else to get fired or somebody else to lose their job so they can get the promotion. Or maybe a friend of yours to try to help you get your promotion. You need your job. I say, well, what are we going to do? We're going to find Terrence, you know. And I'm going to work it out so nobody knows that I'm behind all this. To get Terrence fired, and we're going to put you in his pot, you know. So we're going to help you out. That's called wrong. That ain't right. And David says in this verse, in verse 11, how much more when wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own house upon his bed, shall I not therefore now require his blood of your hand and take you away from where? It don't sound like something good is about to happen. We are about to remove you from the earth. Okay? And they might get on an airplane, because they ain't having airplanes back then, okay? We're about to take you out for what you've done, thinking that you've done something right, but also because you were looking for a reward or an elevation. The Bible says in verse 12, and David commanded his young men, and they slew them, and cut off their hands and their feet, ooh, my son, and hanged them up over the pool in Hebron. Everybody saw that. Can you imagine? You walking by, you see them up there and going, what in the world happened here? Oh, them two boys, they the ones who killed Israel. David had nothing to do with that. You know, they thought they were doing David a favor. And they was expecting a reward, but they got the reward. See, they're hanging. I don't want that kind of reward. Amen. No, not that reward for me. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 12, and David commanded his young men, they slew them and cut off their hands and their feet and hanged them up over the pool in Hebron. But, man, I like David. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the sepulcher of Abner in Hebron. David is a good dude. David, in spite of those who were trying to hurt David, that were attacking David, David mourns, David weeps, David has funerals. Remember what happened with Saul? When Saul was killed, or took his own life, rather, and when Saul was dead and Jonathan was dead in battle, and then even when Abner died, he wasn't walking around there, yep, my enemy's gone, them guys were trying to hurt me, all right, let's have a party! No. He had a funeral. He wept. That sounds like that verse we're talking about today. Y'all remember where that verse is at? Okay? Matthew chapter number 5, verse 44. Y'all shouldn't have did it. Y'all shouldn't have did it. Look at Matthew 5, verse 44. I think, well, somebody's going to have dreams about this verse. Amen. Somebody asked, what verse are you talking about? You'll see in a second. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse number 43. The Bible says, ye have heard. I don't know why God keep bringing this verse around. Ye have heard that it hath been said. Matthew 5, verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. And everybody go, whoa, glory, hallelujah. Preach the word. Preach the word. But look at the next verse. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Don't kill them. Don't cuss them. He said, bless them. Some of y'all gonna go to bed tonight. You're gonna get your bed to sleep. Oh, bless them. Pray for them. Do good to them. Okay, Lord, okay, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for them. Lord, tell them how. No, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry. That's an old prayer. No, Lord, bless them. You know what? David is practicing that verse before that verse has been placed in the New Testament. That's a verse that we can live by. Oh, I can't. I know you can't, baby. But the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you will enable you to. And I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing like having a free spirit and a free mind, knowing, my friends, that your hands are innocent. Your hands are clean. You did nothing wrong. You didn't try to hurt somebody. You were not trying to get even with somebody. But instead, you prayed that God would bless them. You prayed that God would give them joy and peace in their life. But all they've done me wrong, preacher. All they hurt me. I know they hurt at Jesus. And Jesus up on the cross. You know what he said? Father, forgive them. But wait a minute. They have just stuck you in a sign. They've beaten you. They've beat you. They put something over your head. Say, which one will hit you? Forgive them. And then the Bible also says that Jesus is our example. Let me show you in 1 Peter. We're just about done. Look at 1 Peter, chapter number 2, 3, or 4. I'll show you when I get there. Go to 1 Peter. I know the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and drop down to verse number 21. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. The Bible says this. Straight off the pages. The Bible says in verse 21 of 1 Peter chapter 2. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also did what? Suffered for us. And no, the Bible says, leaving us an example, a copy, an imitation, that you should do what? Follow his steps. Come here, Brad. When we are following his steps, what we're doing is this. Wherever Jesus would go, whatever he would do, that's what we want to do. So if he goes right here, he's right behind me. He's following my footsteps. He's shaking people's hands. How you doing? Give me a high five, buddy. You give me a high five? Okay, you give me a high five. Hold it. Wait a minute. There we go. I'm sorry, man. There we go. You know. He's following my footsteps. He's right behind me. Where I'm going, that's where he's going. You know. Loving on folks and stuff. But now, when he decides, I don't want to follow his steps. I'm going to follow my own. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm just going to reach out and just slap folks. No. But you know what? Thank you. But you know what? When we follow his steps, his steps are always good steps. So maybe that's what we start doing. All of us, me too. Start doing this. You know what? What would Jesus do? In this situation, how would he respond? What would be his reaction to this situation? Well, you know what? I think I'll implement that and ask the Spirit of God to empower me and help me to be able to do that. And I'm going to tell you what. We're going to have a lot more victories than we're going to have defeats. Flip back over with me to 2 Samuel. We're done. The Bible says this in verse 12 again. He commanded his young men verse 12, chapter 4. And he commanded his young men, they slew them and cut off their hands and their feet and hanged them up over the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth, buried it in the sepulcher of Abner in Hebron. This was the fruit of that assassination that they took part in. They lost their lives too. The Bible says that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That even when I was out the world running the streets and doing crazy stuff, there were certain things I just wouldn't do, Terrence, because I'm like, you know what? I don't want to reap that. I believe the verse. I didn't want to reap that, so I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. You know. And you know how we do, though? Well, I can handle that right there. Well, you know what God, he handled it. He handled it on me. Amen. God knows how to spank us, and not to hurt us. It's always to correct us. What are you saying, preacher? This assassination caused some other folks to lose their lives too. But it was the ones who did the assassinating. So what should I do, preacher? Don't go around assassinating people. So I'm not going around killing nobody. I'm not talking about literally assassinating people's character. Huh? Assassinating people in other different types of ways. Let's not do that. Because the Bible does teach us that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. What lesson can we learn from this? Let's don't seek to hurt others for our own personal gain. Let's don't seek to hurt others for our own personal gain. The other second thing we can learn from this is this. God will elevate us without us rejoicing in others' fall. God will elevate us without us rejoicing over others' fall. Maybe we come tonight and say, you know what, Lord? Help me not to be somebody that's trying to hurt somebody, trying to assassinate somebody's character, even a person that's done me wrong. But let me not be that individual. Because I belong to you, I know that you are my Father and you will chasten me. Maybe we need to ask the Lord to help us. Or perhaps pray for somebody that may have fallen into that area of assassinating others' characters. Say, Lord, help me to help them so they can go in the right direction. Let me talk to them. Father, thank you for giving me wonderful blessings. And God, there's some other lessons here that we can learn too. And I have no doubt that your Spirit has been speaking to those areas, Lord, as the message has been progressing. Father, I pray tonight, if there's anybody that needs to talk to you, Lord, maybe their character has been assassinated. Somebody has said some ugly things about them. Somebody has wounded their spirit. Someone has wounded them, Father, in some other type of way. Perhaps, God, they'll come and ask you, Lord, for the strength, Lord, to continue to go forward. But also, Father, the strength to forgive. The strength, Father, to not seek revenge. But, Lord, the strength to be able to follow you and then be rewarded with good fruit, good rewards. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. Perhaps, God, there's some folks that need to come and talk to you for a few moments tonight for some other reason. Had nothing to do with this message. But they want to talk to you about something else, Father, that's from their hearts. I pray, God, they come. But, Father, whatever the reasons are, I pray, God, we come and talk to you tonight. Maybe we just want to say, thank you, Lord, that I did not seek revenge. Thank you, Lord, that I did not retaliate. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. And for that, God, we'll praise you, too. We love you, Master. We've heard the songs. We've heard the sermon. And now it is time to respond. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.